This evening we begin a new series of studies in the book of Proverbs, a book that forms part of the wisdom section of the Old Testament scriptures, and a book that has much relevance for us today, hence the title of the series, Wisdom for Today. When you hear the word Proverbs, what do you think of? Well, you may think of brief statements expressing ideas commonly accepted as true, which is one commentator's definition. Things like, many hands make light work. Or the apparently contradictory proverb, too many cooks spoil the broth. The more controversial one, spare the rod and spoil the child. Or the less familiar, like the title of this sermon itself, a good beginning makes a good ending, which is suggestive of the importance of beginning any project in a good way. Or, to use a New Testament illustration from the teaching of Jesus Christ, the need to build on a good foundation if you are to end up with a house that will withstand the storms. Indeed, that illustration from the New Testament is very applicable in the study of the book of Proverbs, as we will see when we pursue our studies in a moment. Thinking of the book of Proverbs, many have this idea of brief statements expressing true wisdom as being the essence of the book, and the majority of the book certainly is that way, but when you come to read it, it takes you a while to actually get to those brief statements. For the first 9 chapters of the book contain longer discourses on the subject of wisdom. And it's not until you get to chapter 10 that those proverbs, as we usually understand them, begin, and then they continue all the way through chapter 31. The first 9 chapters, then, these discourses on wisdom, begin with an introduction or a prologue in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 7, which is the focus of our study this evening. And this itself can be divided into 5 sections. The first and obvious one is verse 1, the superscription, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Simple and to the point, we may think, until we continue to study the book of Proverbs and we discover that other people are named. Lemuel, for example, right at the end of the book, has Proverbs attributed to him. So when we read this superscription in chapter 1 and verse 1, we are not to think that this entire book came from the pen of Solomon himself. Indeed, it is quite possible that Solomon didn't actually compile this book himself, though the book of Kings attributes over 3,000 proverbs to his pen. You see, the book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings from different people. There is Solomon, and certainly the bulk of this book comes from him. There are the sayings of the wise. There are the scribes in the days of Hezekiah, who obviously collected other proverbs, as well as Lemuel and one or two others. And so this is very much a collection of wise sayings. Solomon is attributed here as being the author, since he is of foundational importance when we come to a study of wisdom and wisdom literature. So the superscription introduces us to the book in the first place and continues then in verses 2 and 3 to give us the general purpose of the book. To know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To know. To have knowledge. But it's not just to have knowledge. It's not just simply to fill our heads with wise sayings. I've already referred to two English proverbs. Many hands make light work. It's a truth, well attested. We can think of many examples of where that proverb would be true. But then there's the apparently contradictory proverb, too many cooks spoil the broth. So there's a time and a place. Each of those proverbs isn't true in any and every circumstance. It applies in particular circumstances. And so to know wisdom means more than having a catalogue of proverbs, which is what the book of Proverbs essentially is. You could memorise the whole of this book and you would not necessarily be a wise person. For to know wisdom includes a recognition of the appropriate place to apply the wisdom that has been memorised. Instruction there literally means discipline. It comes from the Hebrew word which means to admonish or correct, and implicit in it is the idea of punishment as well. So there is in this growing knowledge of wisdom a recognition of implications. That a correct application brings a particular result, and an inappropriate application or a failure to apply will bring another result. And so this book is also given to help in understanding words of insight, in helping us to develop an appreciation for truth in its appropriate context. It's given to equip people as they meditate upon these wise sayings to be able to apply them in the right place and at the right time. The general purpose statement goes on to say that it's given to provide instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Wise dealing comes from a verbal root which means to act intelligently. It's similar to the word insight in our English translation of the second verse. But the last phrase of the third verse takes us deeper into these proverbs by showing to us that they have an ethical dimension. It's not just about knowledge. It's about truth. It's about righteousness. It's about justice. It's about the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, appropriate and inappropriate behaviour, that which pleases God and that which displeases God. So there then is the general purpose of this book. It's being presented not to give a, just a catalogue of wise sayings, but to actually help those who meditate upon it to know when to use them and how to apply them. The compiler of this book goes on in this introduction, in this prologue, to narrow down his purpose. From this general purpose, he has two specific purposes in this book aimed at two very different categories of people. Verse 4 addresses the simple. This collection of proverbs is intended to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Simple here means inexperienced or perhaps naive. It's distinct from the word fool, which appears many times in this book and which comes at the end of the prologue as well. The fool doesn't know God. The simple person, in contrast, is open to being taught. They're inexperienced, they're naive, but you can teach the simple. The fool is unteachable. The purpose of the book is to give prudence to these inexperienced, naive, yet teachable people. It wants to encourage the use of reason and to give these inexperienced people the ability to navigate the problems of life. For that's what Proverbs are. They're brief, pithy sayings that are intended to be helpful in given situations to make right choices, to behave appropriately, to deal with problems effectively. Now the second part of that verse speaks about youth, and usually this word indicates young in terms of age, but it can also mean immature. And the book's intention is to provide such people with knowledge and discretion, the ability to walk the path of life in a constructive way and to avoid particularly the lures of the evil path, which the first 9 chapters has much to say about, as we will see in the coming weeks. So beyond this general purpose of providing a knowledge of wise sayings and the ability to use them in a general sense, there's a specific purpose for the inexperienced and for those who are young or immature, that it will equip them for life. But then the writer has a second specific purpose as he writes or collects these wise sayings, and that is addressed to the wise in verses 5 and 6. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand the proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. You see, there's never a time in our lives when we know everything, when we've arrived, as it were. There is always more to learn. The mature, in contrast to the immature, the wise, in contrast to the simple, the inexperienced and naive, still can be taught. And this book is for them as well. The same proverb can equip the inexperienced for life and take the experienced further into the depths of the wisdom of God's knowledge. The one who understands can obtain further guidance to understand still more, you see. And verse 6 implies that these are people who are adept at the interpretation of language that is difficult to understand. These proverbs and sayings, or perhaps we could translate it more specifically as difficult sayings, the words of the wise and their riddles — riddles perhaps isn't the best translation, though the word in Hebrew means that. There are no riddles in Proverbs, not the kind of riddles that Samson, for example, used at the wedding. Not the kind of riddles that we think of when we use the word, something to figure out. No, these are enigmas. They are difficult speech. And indeed, when we work our way through the Proverbs found in this book, many of them have a degree of ambiguity. And the idea then here is that the wise, through further meditation, through a study of these sayings, can increase in their understanding of them. That they can grasp a deeper degree of understanding of difficult sayings and see how they apply to life. So this book is written, it would seem, for everyone, that they may increase in knowledge and ability to apply wisdom to life in such a way that they live successfully in this world. But that's not the case. The book is not written for everyone. And the final verse of this section has been described as a motto of the book. And in different words, it is repeated throughout the book. This final verse indicates that there are those who are exempt as recipients. Verse 7 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So this book is written to everyone who is open to its teaching. But there is a category of person who is not: the fool. He despises wisdom and instruction. He will not be taught. He will not be corrected. He will not be guided. He knows best. But more than that, we recognize that this book is written to those who have a right relationship with God. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning, or the foundation, of knowledge. Knowledge being used here in a generic way to speak of all wisdom. Fear of God is foundational to knowledge. Indeed, we can go so far as to say that there is no true, worthwhile knowledge apart from a right relationship with God. You can study this book of Proverbs, you can understand to some degree all of its difficult sayings, and still not be really wise, and not get to the heart of what they are speaking of, if you don't have a right relationship with God. And the verse is very specific. It's not just any God. It's not just about having some kind of a spiritual dimension to your life, an acknowledgement that there's some superior being who in his wisdom governs the world. No, the verse is very specific. It is the fear of the Lord, of Yahweh, of the covenant God of Israel, of the God of the Bible, who claims to be the creator of the heavens and the earth, and who challenged Job with regard to this whole subject of wisdom. Was he there? Did he understand? Did he know? With the implication that God knows all things. God is the fountainhead of knowledge and wisdom. And to be in a right relationship then with this God is the first basis for growing in knowledge and wisdom. It's the foundation to it. And so the fool who despises wisdom and instruction, by implication, despises God, despises Yahweh, has nothing to do with him. And as we work our way through this book, we will discover that the book of Proverbs, far from being simply a collection of wise sayings from men, is deeply theological. And in its truest outworking must be seen in the light of the New Testament and the life of Jesus Christ. So this book, being addressed to all but the fool, to all who are open to its teaching, to the immature as well as to the mature. This book is for those who have made a commitment to God, who hear the words of God. We could be even more specific and say that these people are those who hear the words of Christ. For as I indicated in the introduction, a good beginning makes a good ending. The right foundation is absolutely necessary to have a lasting structure. And Jesus indicated in his Sermon on the Mount that he is the rock that is the foundation for on which we are to build our lives. At the conclusion of that sermon, he said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears the words of mine, these words of mine, and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You see, we need to heed the words of God. We need to listen to and do the words of Christ. We need, in a very real way, to build our lives on the wisdom that is found in Scripture. A wisdom that we will see unfolding as we work our way through this book of Proverbs. The Proverbs given by God to us, that we may know wisdom and instruction, understand words of insight, receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. In other words, so that we may live godly lives in Jesus Christ, upon whom our lives are founded. Well, that is just a brief introduction to this book of Proverbs. Next week, we're going to delving into these longer discourses on the subject of wisdom. There are about 16 of them, depending on exactly where you make your divisions. So we'll be spending some time on these first 9 chapters before we then begin to look at those shorter, more pithy statements of truth and wisdom in the weeks that will follow. May the Lord help us that each of us, whether young, immature, or older and more mature, May each of us have the fear of God that leads to wisdom and understanding.